Son, now of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last two Sundays, our gospel text talked about John the Baptist, his preaching, his baptizing in the River Jordan, and he's referring his own disciples to Jesus. Today's gospel text find him arrested and in prison, presumably as a reaction to his preaching of the coming of the kingdom of heaven and to his call for repentance as a preparation for entering that kingdom. Now, like John the Baptist, the message of Jesus' preaching was also, according to St. Matthew's Gospel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So again, like John, this message also eventually led to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. Now, what do you think made this message so dangerous and so threatening? In answer, I would like to suggest this, that the central meaning itself of the kingdom of heaven, what does it mean? Now, the kingdom of heaven does not mean a place to go when we die. The kingdom of heaven means rather a ruling power that comes from heaven. A Bible commentator translates the kingdom of heaven as heaven rules. I believe that the kingdom of heaven as heaven rules is better understood if we remember that poster popular years ago at the store Babies R Us. There is a poster there which says, "Baby rules." We parents and grandparents understand baby rules very well. We only need to remember how much we have lost under this rule, in terms of sleeping hours, leisure hours, and even work hours. When this ruling baby cries, or is sick, or is hungry. But that is just one side of that rule. Because when we see that small smiling face saying, "I love you, mommy," or "I love you, daddy," "I love you, grandma," or "I love you, grandpa," as they say it in Spanish, vale la pena. It is worth all the pain. Now, this is to this kind of calling, of preaching, and of building the kingdom of heaven that Jesus called Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John. And this is still the call that Jesus continues to issue to all of us, even today. However, our gospel text today tells us that when Jesus called the first four disciples, "Come, follow me," their response was, they immediately left everything and followed him. This is why it is important to understand not only this call, but also the response to this call. Firstly, the call. Note that Jesus called them not by promising them something like, "Okay, if you follow me, I will send you to heaven when you die, or I will see to it that you have a lot of money in your life on earth." No, Jesus called them to a task, to fish for people. He told them, "I will make you fishers of men." Now consider this image of this calling. to fish for people. You know, this image evokes the question about what kind of bait that would work for fishing. And the kind of fishing that these early disciples did, they of course did not use baits. They used nets. And in that kind of fishing, the fish didn't have a choice to bite or not to bite. They were simply dragged ashore or into a boat by the net. The first disciples were called to be fishers of men in that way, using a net. Now, in day-to-day life, we view being captured like a net, or more to the point, in a dragnet by the police as a negative thing. But when we were younger, we also used to talk about being captured by love. The relationship of love is often sometimes out of control. It happens to us. And when its power runs its full effect, it means a change in life. Marriage is as much a dying to the old life as it is a beginning of a new life. In that sense, being captured by Jesus' irresistible call meant an end to the old life and relations for the fishermen, so that they might begin a new life together as followers of Jesus. Now, secondly, let us look at the response to this call. Now, the response, as we saw it, was shaped by the very nature and demands of the call. That is why when our gospel text tells us that Peter and Andrew left their nets and James and John left their boat and their father Zebedee and followed him. Taken as a whole, these twin stories of the calling of the four disciples make it clear that Jesus summons people from the very heart of our family life, from the midst of our ordinary life of work, into a new vocation, a new calling. Of course, we should not see in these stories that Jesus calls into question our family ties and creates a conflict with our occupations. But in a sense, yes, in the stories of the calling of the disciples, Jesus disrupts family structures and disturbs patterns of working and living. He does so, however, not to destroy, but to renew. For in the Gospels we see that Peter and Andrew did not cease being brothers. They were now brothers who were doing the will of God. James and John did not cease being sons. They were now not only children of Zebedee, but also the children of God. So all the four disciples left their fishing nets, but they did not stop fishing. They became now, in the context of the kingdom of heaven, fishers of men. Their past has not been obliterated. It was just transformed by Jesus' call to follow. So, what are some of the implications that I would like to share to you about the calling, come, follow me? This is still the call to discipleship, to follow Jesus. This is also the call of our parish as articulated in the first part of our mission statement, to know Jesus Christ. To know Jesus, to be a disciple, to be a learner. Our response to this call is still like that of Peter and Andrew, who left their nets and James and John, who left their boat and their father Zebedee and followed Jesus. Our response is still like that of the four disciples who left their fishing nets, but who did not stop fishing. Like them, we too must become fishers of men. This is articulated in the second part of our mission statement. The first part says, to know Jesus Christ, in order, the second part, in order to make him known to others. When I look at this call and this response, I cannot help but remember a card from a friend that I received during my anniversary of ordination. There was a picture in that card. And in that picture, there was the silhouette of a man who left an empty boat on the shore. Underneath was the caption, "The day you left your boat and followed him," to which my friend added in his card, "You brought joy and blessing to many, including me." Could never forget that card. I really hope that in my time with you as your rector, I can truly say that I have been a joy and blessing to many of you as well. I also hope and pray for all of us who left our boats and followed him, that we too are a joy and a blessing to each and everyone along the way. Amen.